Hello, everyone. Welcome into today's Talk of Champions. I'm your host, Brad Logan. Could not do what we do without all of our sponsors. You'll hear from them in just a moment. I want to say a special thank you to Alan Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram for being our title and presenting sponsor. Appreciate Mason. We appreciate Brian and the entire team. If you need a car today, and by the way, go by and see them. They're just east of Kroger on the left on University Avenue at the east side of town. Go ask for Greta Morgan and say, we want the Talk of Champions special. And Greta will hook you up, our talent presenting sponsor. And thanks for all of you that download our content, that share our content. We greatly appreciate it. Ole Miss is in Omaha. The Rebels run through the Nebraska Regional. The Rebels run through the Auburn Super Regional. They'll face North Carolina in Omaha on Friday night at 6 p.m. Central. If chalk prevails, they'll get Jason DeCaro. Jason is an incredible pitcher for North Carolina. He's 11-2 on the year, a 2.28 ERA. He's appeared in 17 games, 87 innings pitched. He's given up 73 hits, only 28 runs, and only 7 home runs. 33 walks up against 84 strikeouts. Jason has a 1.276 whip, and Jason DeCaro probably getting the ball on Friday night for North Carolina. He is absolutely their number one pitcher. The Rebels, as we talked yesterday, has been led by so many players on this team, whether it be Will Furness, Judd Utomart, a couple of names that we haven't mentioned a ton. The huge play by Hayden Federico, the center fielder for Ole Miss, has just been fantastic. Had the snowball catch that was documented so well by the Ole Miss photography department. It was a great catch in center field. But not only that, at the plate, he's been so good for Ole Miss. Hayden Federico is someone that we've been following for quite a while. Had a chance to catch up with Hayden earlier this week. Here's what he had to say about playing in Omaha and the College World Series.
So opened up kind of like a football player and just went back and had a little leap, and thank God it went in my glove. Kind of snow coned it, and then like I opened the glove back up and it fell right into the pocket. Took a big deep breath, gave all the glory to God, and the fans out there in right field, they didn't like me too much.
You did throw them the ball.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
They threw it back.
Yeah, they threw it back, and it was fun. They were ruthless all weekend.
I was about to ask what you were saying when you kind of pounded the wall there when you got to the center field. Is that what you were doing? Was saying a thank you?
Yeah, I just said thank you, Jesus.
What was the emotions of that 5 minutes with the catch and Will's home run and just the way everything sort of shook out there over 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, so I mean, after I caught the ball, I came in the dugout and people are giving me hugs like we won the game. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess we did win the game because we got the top of the lineup up and this is over right here. And then Judd works a walk, and Will Furness at that point was like 0-for-8 on the weekend. And I looked at Tyler Keenan right next to me. I was in the hole and I said, Furness about to do something big right here. Two pitches later, he hits a homer and it was just awesome. I mean, there's no better person for that moment than Will Furness, and I'm just, you know, so proud of our team and him.
Is Pacetta the best guy y'all have for pimping home runs to the top or what?
100%. But the thing is, when he hits them so far that you got so much time to think about it. But I honestly think my bat flip was better on deck. Like, I'm taking dry hacks and I watch it go over it, and my bat flip was, I think, better than his.
You do that often? You flip your bat on deck, or is that special?
That one was just a little more like the moment. It was really cool though, and when he hit it, I mean, a two-run lead is a huge deal. And I mean, I don't even think the ball's landed yet. So
I know you've had confidence in Rabe his entire career, but how is that sort of built and sort of the adrenaline now when you know whatever day he's going to get the ball and how special he's been since he's become a starter and how that's changed?
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's really cool when you have guys like him who are just incredible people. And you know when they go out there, every time they touch the rubber, they're going to give you all that they have. And it truly is for the name on the front and not the name on the back. And he's just grown up in front of all of our eyes throughout the season. His stuff is electric, but he dominates the zone, and he's just got all the confidence in the world in himself, so it's really cool to watch.
You're the son of a college baseball coach. How much College World Series did you grow up watching, and what does this mean to be in it?
Yeah, so I've been telling a lot of people, my dad has never been fortunate enough to coach there. He's been in regionals, super regionals, but he's never made it to The Final Dance, and I always wanted to go as a kid, and he was like, no, like, you gotta earn it or I gotta earn it, and we'll go there together. So it was a special moment for me personally when, you know, we won the game, and I knew that it was gonna be his first time to go up there as well. And it's been a dream of ours since I was a little kid, and I'm pumped. I can't wait to get up there.
We've talked with Will, and we've asked Judd about this, but you were part of this team last year on this field, the way that regional ended. What is it going to mean when y'all kind of take the outfield on Thursday practice and walk through that stadium for the first time?
Yeah, it'll mean everything. I mean, it gives me chills just thinking about it. 365 days, I was heading up to the Cape with my dad and just still distraught that we lost in the way we did at home. And it was tough, but, you know, it's crazy what a year can do, and just a bunch of relentless guys who want to keep playing together. We don't want to leave each other, and, you know, we're excited for this next journey.
A lot of guys have talked about the importance of doing it for Will and Judd and the seniors. How much does that mean to you to get it done for those guys?
Yeah, it means everything. It's funny because in the Texas series, I came up with this, like, lingo that I said, be a senior. And all the guys gave me a hard time. But I just think when you're a senior, it means a little more. And, you know, a guy like Will Furness and Judd Uttermark, who have been here, and they went through those struggles their first 2 years. And now they're the superstars on this team. And you think back of, you know, defining moments of our season, who were the guys that were coming up clutch? And it was those two, and Hunter Elliott and guys like that. So there's something about being a veteran and being a senior that a young guy like me, who even though I have played for 2 years, I still look up to them. I still look at them as our guys, and I think that's the culture side of it, that next year I'll be the guy and stuff like that. So it's really important, and I'm just really proud of those guys.
How would you rate Braden Randall in the outfield?
10 out of 10. I mean, he's caught all the balls he needed to catch, and he's got all the confidence in the world out there, and I'm proud of him. He's been huge for us. We wouldn't be here today without him.
For you, what's the past 2 years been like of a journey of just getting used to becoming a regular, everyday outfielder?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't always been easy. There's, you know, been some tough plays, but it's a part of life. It's a part of the game, and, you know, I feel like I've continued to get better out there, and I've really enjoyed it.
As for Ole Miss, if there's been one position that's been a lockdown position, it's right field. Tristan Bassetta, the transfer from Clemson, has been up and down. At one point was hitting .383, leading the team in home runs, and just had to hit a tough streak. But the good news for Bassetta is he caught fire late in the season. And if there's anybody that hits no-doubter home runs any more than Tristan Bassetta, I'd like to see it. Obviously, there's Judd Uttermark that hits some no-doubters as well. But Bassetta, when he gets into one, boy, he can carry it. This shot, as you're seeing here, as you watch along here, on YouTube and our other social channels, this shot by Tristan Bassetta was an absolute moonshot to right field. I will say this, Butch Thompson and Auburn played Bassetta really well by putting that, I think it was their shortstop, putting him into shallow right center. A couple times during the regional in Auburn, they were able to throw out Tristan Bassetta very easily from right field. But yeah, I mean, he's a great player. He fields it in right as good as anybody. And Tristan Bassetta, a leader on this team. He's also incredibly excited about playing in Omaha and an opportunity to play for a national championship. I had a chance to catch up with Tristan earlier this week.
Fed's catch? Yeah, well, you know, he did get the wrong read. hopefully that doesn't get out there too much because the recovery was incredible. So I kind of was dropping down a little bit, freaking out, and when I saw the ball snow cone into the glove and dropped out down into the, you know, into the webbing, like he said, it was just a sigh of relief, and I was like, man, we're gonna win this thing. We're making all the right plays, and you know, it was just awesome. It was an up and down moment though, for sure.
Was it difficult to kind of lock in and calm the adrenaline down after Furness hits his out and you get up there? What was sort of that minute like?
You know, we've had lots of tense games this year, and I think that's part of what you you know, experience does for you. So I was gonna take it all in. Usually when somebody hits a big home run in front of me, I'll kind of just try to stay calm, stay to the side. But I mean, if you watch it back, I was celebrating just like everybody in the dugout, threw my helmet off, and you know, gave him the helmet hug at home, and you know, just it was just a great moment. And It was fairly easy to lock back in because I knew we still had plenty to go, and in postseason baseball, every run counts. So yeah, it was a roller coaster, but was able to stay locked in.
Is that the most sure thing when you've had so far this year? I mean, the bat flip tells me yes, but that was
I was telling Michael that analytically, you know, that was the best homer I've hit exit velo off the bat. So I knew it was gone.
What's the furthest you've ever hit a ball?
You know, you never know when the track man's not on, but I guess that one versus LSU was probably the furthest. I'm sure there's been some BP homers that have gone a little further, but, you know, the game's what matters, so probably the LSU one. Gosh.
Charles Schwab is a pretty big ballpark. Does that affect your approach to the plate at all?
You know, I think the wind has a lot to do with, you know, how the ball's going to fly. If there's no wind, then, you know, you can get it out there still if you hit it right. So, you know, I'm just trying to go up there and put the barrel on the ball and compete. And, you know, I'm not going to worry too much about what the wind's doing or how big the park is. And, you know, for me, it's all about the process. So, you know, if I line out to the track at 110, then so be it. That's a win in my book, and that's all I can control.
You'd had, obviously, your own levels of disappointments and supers 2 years ago against Florida and whatnot. What did it kind of mean to get over the hump for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. To do this in my last year and with this group of guys is special. We're just glad to keep the group together. But, you know, I think you have some expensive experience, as Coach B would say, and that was what happened with me in the Supers 2 years ago. And so it definitely feels good to, you know, show up in the game when it means the most.
You thought about what the emotions might be Thursday when you'll take the field for practice, just get to go in there for the first time?
You know, I know we're going to get to see it tomorrow and that sort of thing, but I think the thing that we've really tried to focus on this year is be the best team at getting better. And, you know, we got today, tomorrow, and Thursday until we play on Friday, and our goal each day is to make the most of those and, you know, stack those days and get better, and that's what we're going to do. So it'll just be another practice and training day.
You playing Mafia at Clemson?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing some MAF for about 5 years now. So, yeah, you know, I think Mafia is a pretty pretty widespread game in college baseball. So,
was what he told us accurate, or was he lying to us?
No, he's I'd say I'm a vet as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the thing. Experience helps him off as well. So, yeah.
Do you get something if you win, or do you get to be the next, like, narrator or anything like that?
No, it's just kind of like a, you know, you just feel good about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's the worst player on the team?
Who's the worst?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Romine's made some bad mistakes. And then there's some guys who just, you know, don't even play because they know they're going to get kicked out of the game early. So some of the freshmen, but it's all right. They got a couple years to keep getting better.
I don't think they've announced yet, but do you have any past history against either DeCaro or Lynch for UNC?
Are those the starting pitchers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, they redid the, you know, the divisions in the ACC. We played UNC in the championship of the ACC tournament a couple years ago. I didn't play in that game, and so I think that was like the only time we played them.
It's Ole Miss and North Carolina, 6 p.m. start. That's, of course, in Omaha. We talked to you in the previous podcast yesterday about the ticket availability. Right now, it appears that Ticketmaster, for me personally, would be the best spot to go to. That's the official ticket provider for the NCAA and the College World Series. As for lodging, places to stay, you just have to grin and bear it, is how I like to say. You can't stay in Omaha if you can find a room. If not, there's nearby Council Bluffs, Iowa. Also, there's nearby Lincoln, Nebraska. There's, I think it's Sioux City, maybe an opportunity for you. That's a pretty good piece away. Or you possibly could stay in somewhere like a Kansas City and then drive up maybe Friday, the day of the game, and then kind of figure it out after that. But this is a situation where I've told many people, you kind of just have to figure it out. Because Omaha is a bucket list item. Omaha is a bucket list place to go. And the Rebels are playing in Omaha, and it's so much fun to say that. And it's going to be so much fun to see. As for Ole Miss head coach Mike Bianco, this is his third trip to Omaha since 2014. Also, the 22 season, as we all know, Ole Miss finished as the national champions. You look at the left side of the bracket, as you see here, Ole Miss has a good shot. If it can get past North Carolina on Friday night, that gives you an opportunity to play the winner of West Virginia and Troy. And if you win that, you play again on Wednesday. That I think that game's at 1 p.m. And if you win the Wednesday game, then you're done for a while. And that's in you're in the catbird seat at that point. So that's why going, just like we've talked about in other in regionals and super regionals, getting the 2-0 is the magic number. No difference here. I mean, Ole Miss obviously hasn't lost in the postseason. So they're in a really good position heading into to Omaha. They're red hot. I think they're playing as well as they have all year. And I think they've got as good a shot as any coming out of that left side of the bracket. Right side of the bracket, man, it's loaded. All SEC teams. I think obviously everybody's talking about that Texas and Georgia game. I'll be honest, I'm excited to say that Oklahoma and Alabama game. We all saw just how good Oklahoma has been playing. We saw how good Alabama's been playing the last series of the season for Ole Miss in SEC play. The Rebels an opportunity to win that series on Saturday, the third and final game. Couldn't get it done, couldn't host a regional, but everything worked out. Here's head coach Mike Bianco, who we caught up with earlier this week, talking about heading to face North Carolina in Omaha in the College World Series.
Hello, friends. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm pretty simple when it comes to clothes. Whether I'm headed to the stadium in Oxford, running around New Albany, or just trying to get through another long day, I don't need a closet full of stuff. I just want clothes that fit, hold up, and don't make me think twice. That's why I've become a fan of Quince. My Quince organic cotton t-shirt has become one of those things I reach for all the time. It's comfortable, it fits the way I like, and after plenty of washes, it still looks new. Honestly, that's what surprised me the most about Quince. You expect that kind of quality from designer brands, but Quince delivers it without the designer price tag. Whether it's premium denim, tailored chinos starting at just $60, or even bedding, cookware, and travel gear, Quince has become one of my go-to brands because I know what I'm getting every time. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TOC. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC.
Kind of falling and y'all sweeping and getting through, and Cade hadn't thrown as much. Just kind of what's the process for him to stay in?
Well, if you saw, he was just throwing a live BP out there, and that's one of the things is to try to make sure in between these things that everybody's ready to go. And he did. He was actually up on Saturday. I mean, he was in the pen getting hot, and so and we had talked about it, Joel and I, that. You know, if you had a chance to win, you know, that you would be all in to go. And not that you didn't have confidence in Walker, but, you know, you just don't know. And Walker was got through it and, you know, terrific play by Judd to finish it. But then, you know, today, because he got hot, you know, we wanted him to throw to hitters, but wanted to give him a couple days to do that and be ready. So, and other guys are throwing lives right now. So just to try to keep, you know, guys that haven't thrown, you know, not just a bullpen, but to be competitive on the mound with, you know, hearing the pitch comps, you know, throwing the pitches, but he's putting them in different situations out there. So.
Just in general, is Carolina a little different team to obviously prepare for? Because they alternate left, right. Their splits look pretty even. They kind of do everything the same.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, and without getting so into it, and they're good. I mean, you knew they had a great year, but you know, it's not to sound like coaches speak, but it's true. I think you know, you won. You focus on your team too. You know, you focus on your next opponent, and so. You know, I knew Auburn was good, but, you know, don't really watch them. And, you know, this is similar, you know, to where you hear a lot about the year. I think they lost, like, the first weekend to Virginia and then ran through that league, and they got some really good teams in that league. So, you know, they've had a tremendous year, yeah. And when you look at them statistically, they do everything. I mean, they hit, you know, they got some power. They steal bases. They certainly pitch at a high level. And multiple guys that they, you know, maybe similar to us, that, you know, you probably feel super comfortable with, you know, starting. So,
are you ready to announce?
No, we haven't, you know, got to that yet.
What's it mean to you personally to make Omaha for the third time since 14?
It's hard to answer the personal question. I mean, obviously I'm proud, but I mean, I don't ever look at it that way because it's not about me. I'm proud of these guys, you know, and all the things that you've seen. And there's so much the last couple of weeks people have talked about the team and, you know, how, you know, cool it is, how close they are. You know, guys, you know, yeah, you hear bits and pieces of their interviews with you guys. And, you know, it's amazing how often they go back to their teammates and how much, you know, they love playing with one another and being with one another. And, you know, to me, that's cool. But, you know, as coaches, when you talk about culture and all those different things, those things matter. You know, homers and, you know, the last inning matter. But you know, it's hard to get to those points without collectively through the year pulling for one another, caring for one another. And so when your team does that, you know, it makes you, you know, feel good as a coach.
How would you rate Bissetta's bat flip?
I don't rate bat flips. I've always thought, you know, when you do it like him, not the you hit it and you walk, you know, 10 feet and flip it up in the air, those things, that's not very impressive. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. You flip it where it looks like you haven't even finished your swing yet, and you know it, you know, before the ball's left the infield. That's impressive to me. You know, not so much the coolness of the flip, but how you can hit a ball and know it's out before it even leaves the infield. You know, I played the game. I could never do that. I'd never be that guy. I'd be like a couple of our guys and, you know, start walking and it didn't get out.
What has he meant to this team this year?
Well, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, obviously. You know, to hit whatever it is, 23 home runs, to be one shy of the record and all of that. But it's bigger than that, and I think you guys know that. I mean, what a neat kid he is. You know, what a great teammate, a guy. And I've said this before that, you know, it's a great feeling, and part of the reason that you have this camaraderie, this teamsmanship is, you know, the transfers that do get here, you know, and he's not the first and not the only one on this team, but to buy into what we're doing, you know, buy into what we're doing offensively, what we do as a team, you know, a guy that played in a really good program and, you know, come here and to just kind of immerse himself into the team, it makes a difference, you know, because, you know, you come in and, you know, certainly he's respected. You know, unlike what I think some people think, I had to transfer and everybody wants to, you know, go negative. And, you know, he embraced it. He came in here and wanted to be a part of it. And, of course, you know, he's respected, you know, as a baseball player. But when you act like that, you know, guys, you know, it makes a difference, you know, in the clubhouse, you know, in the dugout.
You told me in 22 you're going to put an emphasis on, hey, go win it. Don't just enjoy being there and kind of the way the binder from all your past experience. Is that the same template you've tried to use with these guys this week?
Certainly. And I think that's a big deal. But it was neat that Judd, when he broke it down at Auburn, you know, holding the trophy, said that. He said, we're not just going there. And actually, I think there's a video, you know, that our guys, you know, put out there that you can see him. You know, that was the last thing that they said before they went and, you know, were with their families and the fans and all of that is, you know, you go there to win.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by. Let's be friends.
I'm Warrior Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Life is made up of moments. We care about those moments as much as you do. We are Modern Woodmen, a fraternal financial services organization. Member owned, not stockholder run. Since 1883, we've supported families, strengthened communities, and helped people reach their financial goals. From protection to saving to retirement planning, let us help you plan for those special moments in your life. We are Modern Woodmen of America.
Are you ready for delicious blueberry donuts? What about savory crispy chicken and wonderful tasty sides? Well, get ready because Connie's Chicken is coming to Oxford. See you soon for some good eats and good times.
Hi there. Did you know that Connie's Chicken offers catering? Whether it's a large event, a small event, tailgate, or business party, Connie's is perfect for just about every occasion. Connie's Chicken Catering. Order today.
Give Connie's a call today for that perfect tailgate order, 662-934-7252, or you can email them, catering@connieschicken.com. Be sure and tell them you heard about it on the Logan Media Network. Looking for a quick order? Just go to connieschicken.com, order online today, or you can give them a call, 662-380-5106 at connieschicken.com. The combos, they've got them for you. The fried chicken sandwich combo, chicken tender combo, two-piece bone-in chicken combo, four-piece bone-in chicken combo. How about this? The little cluckers for the kids. Everybody's covered at Connie's Chicken. And for dessert, don't forget the blueberry donut. I promise you'll thank me later. Tell them you heard about it on the Logan Media Network. Connie's Chicken, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's Ole Miss and North Carolina. Thanks again for all of our sponsors for jumping on and being part of our Omaha content. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage on the College World Series. That's, of course, in Omaha, Nebraska. Jake Thompson is taking care of the on-three side of things and the Ole Miss Spirit along with Ben Garrett. I'll have the Talk of Champions content along with Ben Garrett. Full coverage of Ole Miss in Omaha. We could not do what we do without all of our sponsors. Thank you all so very much. And thank you all for sponsoring all of our content in Omaha and, of course, the College World Series. I get asked a lot, what's it like? And it's really hard to put into words. It's very emotional for me because growing up with people and watching the College World Series and watching from old Rosenblatt. And by the way, you saw some video yesterday, and you see it here on the screen. Old Rosenblatt still has some of the old seats and the old sign and the original, I think, left field foul pole. That's, of course, in the parking lot of the Omaha Zoo. It's coming into town, so it's worth a stop. For me, it's worth a stop from a nostalgic standpoint because so many people that love Ole Miss baseball, so many people that love the College World Series have passed away. I was so grateful that my father-in-law, who loves Ole Miss baseball, was able to experience the 22 national championship and the 22 run to Omaha, and he was able to experience that. So it's really cool. But I know he has since passed away, and I know he'll be looking down. He is a huge fan of Mike Bianco. He is a huge fan of Ole Miss baseball, and it's special because of people like my father-in-law, James Wright, who loves the Rebels. It's special because of people like Jake Gibbs, who paved the way for Ole Miss baseball. It's special for people like Coach Swayze, who the field is named after. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about people like Donnie Kessinger, who Coach Kessinger played almost every sport at Ole Miss. I know he played football and basketball, but he was an incredible athlete out of Arkansas. And of course, Keith Kessinger and Kevin Kessinger and Gray Kessinger and the lineage of the Kessinger family just continues. And being able to just visualize Coach and his kids walking into Omaha, walking into Charles Schwab Field and getting your picture taken in front of the monument, in front of the field. I'd be remiss if I didn't just be transparent with everybody. It's incredibly emotional. And being able to experience that with your family, with your friends, And I think reflecting, you hear me say that a lot, and I think in large part, when you reflect and you appreciate the past, I think it gives you more of an appreciation for the future. And you look at what Ole Miss did in 22, and that just, boy, that is just incredible. You go back and listen to the radio calls of David Kellum, who has served as the voice of the Ole Miss baseball team since and David will have to forgive me, I think it's 87, and if I'm off a year or two, please forgive me, it may have been 86. I know he started in 89 was his first football year, maybe in 85, but for someone like David to see it all the way through and to go through the heartbreak in 05 and 06 and to go the heartbreak against Virginia, Miami, Texas, but to have all of that come back and win in 14 in Lafayette, win in 22, of course, in Hattiesburg, win in 26 in Auburn, and just being able to exhale. And I think in large part, I talked about the career and the career path of Mike Bianco and how he learned under Skip Bertman. And he came to Ole Miss, and I've heard Mike say in the past that he expected excellence when he took the job in 01, when John Schaefer hired Mike Bianco. And when he took the job, he expected excellence that had bled over from LSU. And in large part, that happened. The obviously, the elephant in the room was getting to Omaha. And I would argue that the 05 team, and if I'm off a year, please forgive me, with Stephen Head playing Texas, to me that was maybe the best team that Mike ever fielded. Obviously, he didn't get to Omaha, faced at that point the best team in the country, the hottest team in Texas, and Ole Miss went to game three, and it just felt like you hope that wasn't the career arc of Ole Miss under Coach Bianco, and it wasn't. It was difficult, and I think you learn from those difficult moments. I said, you know, maybe last week that Braden Randall's career arc is one that he faced adversity midway through this year. But what he did, he stayed true to the plan. He kept fighting. He kept working. And now he's a huge component of this team and one of the best players on the team. To Mike's credit, he didn't allow 05 and 06 to mold his career. Now the stadium's going to be named after him. There's going to be a statue of Mike Bianco. And all of that is rightfully so. He deserves every bit of it. But I commend Mike, and I commend his the way he has adapted. I thought it was a really good question, and forgive me if I get this wrong, but I think Chase Parham of Rebels 247 asked this question. And it was about evolving as a coach, hiring Joel Mangrum as a pitching coach, learning as a manager, adapting. And Mike Bianco has done that. I'm anxious to see how that continues in Omaha because it's worked really well at the latter part of the season. It's been a lot of fun following this team, and we thank all of you for following along. It's been an absolute labor of love. To the Ole Miss fans that were in Auburn, hat tip. You were wonderful. You helped get this team over the edge. You helped get this team across the finish line, and you were a huge part of that. And I have no doubt on Friday at 6 p.m., there'll be a stadium full of Ole Miss fans. We look forward to providing you pre- and post-game coverage on Friday here on the Talk of Champions and all throughout Omaha in the run to the national championship. It's Ole Miss and North Carolina in a huge opening game in Omaha. You really feel like the winner of this game wins that side of the bracket. I know that's saying a lot, and that's really making a big leap, but I truly believe the winner of the left side of this bracket, as you see on the screen, is going to come out of the opening game between Ole Miss and North Carolina. I believe it's that big. Wall-to-wall coverage of the road to Omaha, Omaha, Nebraska, in the College World Series and the Rebels in a quest for another national championship. Wall-to-wall coverage here on the Talk of Champions and also the Ole Miss Spirit. That's an affiliate of On3. That's omspirit.com. Wall-to-wall coverage there as well, as Jake Thompson has done a terrific job covering this team throughout the year from a beat perspective. Ben Garrett has done a great job as well. A full breakdown on the message board, a ton of content, obviously podcast and all types of articles. That's for you right there on the Ole Miss Spirit. I'm Brad Logan for the Talk of Champions. We'll talk to you soon as it's Ole Miss in North Carolina at 6 p.m. on Friday night in Omaha.
Don't want the Reds get hot.